Our theme today is formed for God's family. Few would argue with the conviction that today's society in Britain is characterized by a huge amount of social disintegration. All around us we see families struggling to hold together, and there's a huge amount of family breakup. I'm at the moment involved in seeing a couple who are struggling in their marriage, for example. And each of them comes from family backgrounds which have been dysfunctional. And they carry that baggage, if you like, into their relationship. And it will be a miracle if they hold together. 40% of our housing is built now for people living on their own. And many of these have chosen to live on their own, and that's fine. But there are many who have found family life just so painful that they have pulled out. Somebody else that I'm seeking to help at the moment is a millionaire, lives in London. He emailed me recently, "David, I'm living in a loveless marriage." So all around us we see a longing, if you like, for family to work, but at the same time, so often it doesn't. The society in which Jesus lived was not too dissimilar to our own. Yes, of course, Judaism at the heart has loyalty, family life, and that's great. And we see the same in our own society in many of the Muslim communities. But at the time of Jesus, people could be trapped in that. Women particularly were second class. It was a male-orientated and dominated society. And one wonders if actually love was really at the heart of much family life. Into this situation, Jesus came and called to him the disciples. And his aim was to knit them together in a family, the family of God. And he worked with them for 3 years. Often he found it very frustrating, and he castigated them at times for their lack of love for one another, their ambition to serve themselves. And on one occasion, he discovered that they were arguing as to who would be the greatest in the family that Jesus was seeking to start. And he took a child and put the child in the midst and said, "Humble yourselves, be like this child, be dependent on God, be dependent on one another." And gradually this disparate group, such a mixed bunch, the impetuous Peter, James and John, the sons of thunder, strong characters, the diffident and humble Andrew, if you like, the doubting Thomas, Simon the Zealot, who wanted the violent overthrow of Rome, and so on, gradually this disparate group were knit together by Jesus. But what led to that? And what could we learn from them being formed into this family, this new family, this new society? Society which Jesus said were to go out and be God's family in a broken world, to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. What changed them? Well, it seems to me the first was that over 3 years they saw Jesus in action and they began to see that he was a member of the family of God, the Trinity. He spoke of God as his Father. He had the power of the Spirit within him. He was not alone. And the great biblical view of God is that God himself is a family, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in a family of unity, of interdependence, and of love. It's interesting, right at the beginning of the Bible, the word for God is a plural word, Elohim. And God, right at the beginning, says, let us make man in our own image. So here we have the biblical view of God as Trinity, a relationship of love. I wonder if you had ever thought about how churches are named, St. Thomas, St. John's, St. Peter's, Christ Church, whatever. Well, very often that goes back hundreds of years to perhaps a bishop or a group. If you had a chance to fancifully perhaps name a church, what would you name it? I might name a church St. Luke. He's my favorite gospel writer. But I think I would choose Holy Trinity, because in our broken world, this speaks of God as family. The disciples began to see this. Secondly, they realized that they had to be changed. So Jesus tells them that they need the Holy Spirit to transform them. And so Jesus speaks in John 3 of being born all over again into God's family. Born again, born from above. We can often find the title, if you like, born again, a bit off-putting. But it actually means that you and I are born physically as children of God in that sense, created by God as our Father of creation. But we also need to be born spiritually within. Years ago, I was preparing a couple for the baptism of their child. And I explained that baptism was the outward sign of being born again, born anew into the family of God. And I said to the parents, you have to have this faith yourselves, because unless you do, your child won't have it. So I asked the father if he had much of a belief in God. No, he said, he didn't think he did much at all. I asked him whether he prayed at all. He said, no, he didn't really often pray. I asked him whether he thought about life beyond the grave. No, he said, I don't think I ever think about that. So I said to him, and he was a carpenter, a strapping young man, you're physically born, you're strong, you're mentally alive, you've got feelings, but your spiritual side is non-functional, it's dead. Would you agree? And he said, you're absolutely right. He was very honest. He realized that that part of him needed to be born again. So Jesus says to these disciples, you've got to be humbled and you've got to be born all over again. And on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, entered them and they were transformed from within. And so it was then that they began to be knit together in this new family, the power of the Holy Spirit. The next thing that transformed them into God's family was that they each one learnt that they had a part to play in that family. They had gifts, they had ministries, and these wonderful gifts within them were not for their own aggrandizement, their own ambition. They were there to bind them together in this new family. And so we see in the Acts of the Apostles this new family forming. We see different gifts operating. Peter the evangelist, James, one of the great leaders of the church. We see St. Paul coming to join that family and becoming the evangelist and teacher of the Gentiles. And so this family permeates the human family and begins to bring transformation. What was the ultimate characteristic of this new family? It was, of course, love. In John's Gospel, chapter 15, Jesus says to those disciples, still very frail and fragile, you did not choose me, I chose you. Chose you to be knit together in a family and to be transformed. And the characteristic of this new family has to be love. Love one another as I have loved you, said Jesus. No man loves greater than this, no one, that they lay down their life for their friends. And so Jesus lays down his life on the cross, taking all the sins and rubbish on himself and getting rid of that barrier between human beings and God and between human beings and each other. And indeed removing the barrier that we put up to stop us loving and accepting ourselves. Love is the greatest quality of the family of God. Sometimes when I'm preparing a couple for marriage, I say, in every ideal marriage, there are four loves, the four great Greek words. Eros, that's attraction, romantic and sexual love. Friendship, which is a great form of love, philia. Storge, which means affection, which binds us together. But above all, the word agape. And agape, as you probably know, means God's love. It's an unconditional love, it's a sacrificial love, and it's a love which is a commitment of the will. This is the word Jesus uses for this new family. Love one another unconditionally, sacrificially, and totally, because that's how God loves you. And so he says, I've chosen you to go and bring forth fruit, fruit that will remain. What is the fruit that he's talking about? Well, as we've already seen, it's to go out into this world and bring love to other people. And so in Galatians chapter 5, St. Paul says, the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit working in us, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives. If you and I have the Holy Spirit living in us, and we do if we say Jesus is Lord, we have all this potential to be knit together in God's family and to reach out and bring fruit, as it were, to others. How do you feel about being a member of the family of God? Is this benefice, is this local church a true family? And one of the other great characteristics of this family is that we set each other free to be our full selves. Again, sometimes doing marriage counseling, I discover that a husband, say, or a wife has entered this marriage thinking they can change the other person. Nobody can change somebody else. It's God's love which sets us free to change ourselves. And one of the great characteristics of the church should be this unconditional love which sets each other free to be our true selves. What is the greatest gift that you can give to somebody else? It's not your talents, it's not your abilities, it's you, a transformed, renewed person. And so our broken and divided world is longing for true family life. And one of the greatest callings of the church is to be this new community within the wider community. All people are made by God, they're created by God, in that sense God is their Father. But all people need to be recreated by the Holy Spirit. And if you and I are bound together in God's family, we will have an effect on people around us. Just by being ourselves, by reaching out and loving, by sharing our gifts, and by living out God's love. What a great calling you and I have. You and I are formed not just to be on our own, not just to be our true selves, but we are formed to be remade into the family of God. May God, by his Holy Spirit, enable us to know that in reality. Amen.